Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're here having a somewhat lazy weekend day.
Yeah.
We had a lot of stuff on our plate yesterday, I feel. And we got it done within like an hour and a half in the garden.
But it was fun stuff. It was playing in the dirt.
Yes.
I think it's fun.
You get energy from such things. I don't.
We put cardboard down and mulch on top in between some of the beds. And by some of the beds, I mean
Like
three, because
one and a half.
one small area, because that's all the mulch that we had currently. And then planted two types of lettuces, carrots, and beets, which hopefully will all turn out.
Yes.
Can make beet pickles.
You can.
And they're
They
so good.
stink so bad when they get made.
Delicious.
It's like vinegar covered feet.
It is not vinegar covered feet.
Yes, it is.
It's like vinegar and cloves and cinnamon and all those warm spices.
And I don't like those warm spices. Like, generally not a fan.
What?
Like when they pop up in an entree or something. No.
What about apple pie?
Well, that's fine because that's a dessert.
Oh, you don't like it in savory things like pickled beets?
No, they're not savory.
So we've got that going. We did plant the ramps,
Yep.
but we're not going to tell anyone where we planted them because you keep your ramp locations a secret.
And don't they spread?
I hope so. They're
Yeah.
supposed to make like a little colony.
Oh, that's good. We should probably look for those other ones out in the woods today.
It might be too soon.
Oh.
The trout lilies aren't up, the ones by the driveway.
Oh.
Like, it would be real bad if they died. Like, I don't think they would have. And there's a bellwort too out in the woods that we can check on
Yeah.
eventually. I think we need a few more days of 70.
Oh, that's fair. But it's decent today. We have windows open for the second day in a row.
Yeah.
A nice breeze. It's nice to be on the couch and be able to like throw a blanket on and cuddle up that way.
Yeah. Or if you're in my basement, you obviously need a blanket because it's always chilly.
It's true.
All the buns are here except for Clyde, who's our foster, who is at home.
He almost got adopted, but then his prospective adoptees withdrew their application. So Clyde is
Which,
with us for a little while longer.
good for them of like knowing what they have, what's compatible.
Yeah.
And there's so many adoptable buns out there.
Yeah.
And eventually, when we move in, I'll no longer be able to foster because we won't have room.
Yeah.
And hopefully can get off the foster's needed page because it's heartbreaking
Yeah.
the number of rabbits that are dumped around Easter.
It is. It's already begun.
So just like cats and dogs, adopt, don't shop
Yes.
with rabbits, like don't gift an Easter bunny.
Oh, I don't understand how you could.
Me neither. Like it's
Like,
just
here's a live animal.
so irresponsible.
It is.
And I would say rabbits are docile, and so like you can't tell that they're hurting or in a bad spot, but our rabbits are a little bit feisty.
They are.
But you should not put them in a wire cage at the bottom.
No, and they shouldn't live outside in a hutch.
And if you give them unlimited hay, they will reward you with a decade of love and affection and far flying places.
And compost for your garden. They can
And
go in there right
compost.
away.
Yeah. I dumped the bucket that I've been collecting on the rhubarb that I had split earlier, and I was so afraid I had killed it all, but there's little nubbins coming back up. So that might just be what I do, like constantly collect their manure and drop it on the rhubarb to ensure that it is good and healthy
Yeah.
since it has been there for so long. And I would have been mortified if I had killed like 85% of our plot.
Yeah.
But at home, I did a minor cleanup. Like I took out the tomato steaks and unknotted the nylons from it. Fun fact, someone found nylons at work and they were like, why do we have these? And I was maybe very eager to be like, can I have them? Because they're really good for tying tomatoes. Like they're flexible, they aren't going to bite into the stems,
Yeah.
give a little bit of tug. So they're very handy. So that's why I wanted them. But I had left last year's out all winter.
Oh.
So there's still a few more years out we can get out of them. Like they're not totally brittle. So last year's tomato bed isn't my bed this year. So I planted kale, Swiss chard, turnips, beets, and maybe radishes, which will be up and out, and then that space will be taken over by whatever is expanding next to it.
Yeah, radishes don't really work out here for some reason.
No, I mean the ones that we put in to repel squash bugs, those plants get very big and they
Yes.
blossom.
Yeah.
I also started a whole bunch of onions. I put the greenhouse, my little greenhouse together with a 5 gallon bucket of water to help keep it warm at night. Because water takes a lot of energy to change it 1 degree. So if it can heat up during the day, it holds on to that heat pretty well throughout the night. And those onions should be happy then.
Yeah. I got all of my Alpha Flight art framed up finally.
Oh,
I went
good.
to Michael's. They had some deals. I
Awesome.
used those deals, and everything is in frames. So I think I'm going to put it like over here. Like currently, it's the Gambit
I
area.
was about to say that our dear listeners can't quite tell what here
So
means.
I think I'm going to, because I need a place that is going to be in the background. Like, I want it to be shown off if I turn my camera off blur mode in
Oh.
Zoom. And also, someplace that doesn't get like rays of sun beating in on it all
Right.
the time. So, I think I'm going to transition Gambit over to a random area next to the TV and some shelves where it's just some random pieces of art and make this Alpha Flight, put the slab stuff from Uncanny. I got signed by Claremont over there.
Oh, we should get you a thicker curtain then for the afternoon when that
No.
comes in and
Yeah.
hits that area.
Yeah. Because then it's beating right in on the couch. And this time of year, it's harsh. Like you're sitting just trying to watch TV or play a video game or even just read or something.
And somehow you're always in the gap no matter
Yes.
what you do.
Yep.
So, Asta's doing some heavy duty grooming. She's gotten so many treats out of me this weekend.
Yes.
So, she is probably preparing for a roll flop nap.
I
We will
don't
keep
blame
you
her.
updated.
And I also have started reading newer comics again.
Yeah, working through your backlog.
Yet, like 2 months at least. Some titles I haven't read for like 5 months. Like, I
Oh.
have a stack of Immortal Thor,
Oh yeah.
which is ending with issue 25 coming up.
Is that
So,
because something is happening in Storm and he showed up at the end of the last issue?
I don't know. I don't read Storm.
But you've got X Factor, you've got Fire and Ice. Have you and you have a whole bunch of Lower Decks you need to catch up
I
on.
do. Starting with Lower Decks issue number 2.
Oh, and number 6 just came out.
I
I
know.
really want to see Ryan North at a con because I think Lower Decks is so fun.
I think we just need to go to Toronto when he's making an appearance, probably with Jason Lowe.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, they've done local stuff together.
And maybe get tickets to one of Anthony Oliveira's
Yeah.
raccoon dumpster raccoon.
Yes.
Yes.
But also, I read Secret Six, Concert of Champions, and The Atom Project, the newest issues of all of those this morning.
Oh, nice.
Which, okay, like I really like what the Justice League line is doing, which Fire and Ice ties into, Atom Project ties into. So it's sort of a fun retelling of stuff. And there's a, of course, crossover happening soon
Oh, yeah.
with Batman and Superman World's Finest.
I read something that I wanted to bring up on the podcast, and I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was Lower Decks.
Maybe. And who knows? Like, we cover Star Trek stuff. Do we start covering the new issues once they start doing those mini series? Like, it's too far gone for us to try to cover the current stuff.
Yeah, and after Lore War,
Lore
stuff is
War.
happening.
Yes. And then it's wrapping up.
But the main track line is good.
And it's
Defiant
all.
is a little bit iffier for me.
It always has been.
Yeah, always on the cusp.
Because it's Worf.
And like, I feel like B'Elanna and Ro would be making different choices.
Oh.
So, but it's fine.
And we'll see what happens with these new minis.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the Voyager one, obviously.
Oh.
I forget what the other two are.
Me too.
I have they started promoting them in the ads in those books?
Not yet.
Okay. Because I think they start in like July.
Like in this episode, issue of Lower Decks, the back pages have the art for the upcoming main line
Oh.
with Lore War. But
And for book stuff, I'm going to say it correctly. If you want to hear the news first about book stuff, it's alphaflightbook.beehiv.com. It's beehive, but spelled very incorrectly. This time I don't have to record a bumper to go at the beginning of this episode because I said it correctly.
yay.
This upcoming week, I am sending out the cover reveal and the title reveal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I have my last interview. So by the time this episode airs, my interviews are all done for the book, and I am just editing my heart out,
Yeah, you are.
running full scale at edits as much as I can. And I figure if I can do like, I don't know, I don't want to hold myself to some sort of threshold of pages because then it'll just seem daunting.
Yeah, that seems stressful.
Yeah.
Also stressful is writing out all of our weekends for the rest of this month and next month of where we're going to be. But with the caveat that if the stuff for the farm comes up, then you can have a weekend to yourself to edit while I go down to the family farm in Iowa and plant some of my favorite pollinators for my uncle there.
Yeah, because editing a 300-page Word document is,
A lot.
yeah, but I'm going to bust through it as quickly as possible so I can get things formatted, get art thrown in there,
Yeah.
and have it all ready to be uploaded by the publication date. Maybe the publication date and everything will go in issue two of the newsletter.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, but we have Alpha Flight to talk about.
We
We
do.
have three issues. Two of them are Alpha Flight, one of them Marvel Fanfare. So first up, we have issue 33, entitled A Friend in Need. Cover date is April 1986, which means it is probably out in like January, so don't worry, none of the of us were alive. Neither of us were in this world yet.
Almost.
Almost. We were gestating. Our writer is Bill Mantlo. Our penciler is Sal Buscema. Inks are Jerry Talowak. Coloring, Bob Sharon, Jim Novak on letters, our editors, Carl Potts. Okay, so you see this cover.
Yeah, there's
Yeah,
X-Men.
in this issue, the Uncanny X-Men, even above Alpha Flight, it says that.
Well, in smaller font, at least.
Yes, but you still get X-Men, registered trademark. So, what was your perception looking at this cover? You see Magneto in his Daddy Magneto sleeveless number.
It's true. They're all like backlit and evil looking. Like Rachel doesn't have facial features, neither does Rogue, although you can see the white stripe in her hair.
The skunk stripe, yeah.
Yeah, it looks very nefarious. Even Colossus, and I don't even know who's next to Colossus. That's just a
Oh,
shadowy
it's a
figure.
shadowy
Could
figure.
it be Shadow Cat?
Maybe.
And yeah, they don't look very welcoming. And you've got like the sort of pencil-y vague images of Snowbird and Box, Northstar and Aurora. Like it's setting
Sort
up
of
some.
looking on in the ghostly woods.
Yes, as a damaged Heather lies on the ground. Like it's not a great vibe if you're Heather.
No,
And
it's
you're like,
not.
are the X-Men evil? Did something happen?
We're going to find out. And in our last episode, I did promise we would see Wolverine.
And there he
And
is
there he is.
in the tan and brown-ish.
Yeah. Heather streaks across the skies of Canada, working her way eastward at a low altitude. As she passes by people on the ground, they wonder at how Guardian is flying overhead if he was reported to be dead. She even cruises over a submerged marina who is in her monster form. You really liked this.
I was like, I haven't seen her. I couldn't remember why. Like what all had happened out after the conflict with the Master of the
Master of the
World
World? Yep.
and the fight with Namor, and I thought she had gone off with him, but apparently not.
Yeah.
There other political things happened in Atlantis because we find out it's not him in the Atlantean ship following her. It's Atuma, warlord of
Yeah,
Atlantis.
so she sort of registers that Heather is flying overhead, but she is like, I'm staying away from this fish-shaped submarine.
Yes, she there's a struggle going on internally between her monster part and her more higher functions, but her fight or flight, mostly flight,
Yeah.
is taking over.
Atuma wants to capture her because she's close to Namor, and Atuma has eternal beef with Namor.
Yes.
But especially around this time, it's a struggle for Atlantis.
Yeah.
And a tool to make Namor cooperate is capturing the woman he loves, who is Marina.
Yeah. Except she is racked by pain in her
Yeah, she
abdominals.
cries out, and then we see the echo of her pain in Snowbird, who's in Doug Thompson's home in the Northwest Territories, where a doctor is attempting to treat her. The doctor gives her a shot, and Snowbird's goddess form emerges in the rage, but dissipates quickly as she cycles through a couple animal transformations before collapsing on the floor.
Yeah, she's like, "Don't you dare inject me with that." And decides to turn into a bear and then an owl and then faints in her human form.
The team is at their base, having just tried to raise Snowbird on the phone unsuccessfully. She's busy.
She's having a moment.
Puck is being hard on himself for rejecting Heather's plea for more training, and Aurora comforts him, saying he is in love with Heather and doesn't want harm to come to her.
Yes.
She's like, dude, we know.
Yeah.
Northstar continues on his campaign against Heather's leadership and thinks she can't do much as an active leader for the team, except get herself killed.
Yeah, he's been a real dick about
He
this.
really has. Madison makes an impassioned plea to the rest of the team that they need to help Heather, and they move to locate her via her suit, which has a unique tracking identifier. Puck, however, knows exactly where she went and stalks out of the room alone. He's
Yes.
like, I know where she's going. Heather arrives in Westchester, New York, but takes the X-Men by surprise as they depart the mansion for a night at the opera.
Yeah.
What do you think they were going to see at the opera? Or what do
Oh.
you hope they were going to see at the opera?
I mean, I haven't been to the opera a whole lot. I feel, did we go to Marriage of Figaro?
I think we did.
I mean, that was pretty
Pre-COVID,
fun. Yeah.
right? Yeah.
And I feel like there's a reference to a Mozart piece in here, but I'm not a big fan of Mozart.
I know you haven't even seen Amadeus yet.
No.
And so can be.
You haven't seen Burlesque yet, and that's so
You
campy.
wanted to start watching it at 9:30 last night,
Because
and you were
you,
falling asleep.
I wish. But you were like, I don't know what Wagon Wheel Watusi is, and I forgot. So, and you love pop stars,
I
and
do.
it's got Cher and Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, it has Xtina. So anyway, you have no hopes for their opera?
I mean, there's some fun ones.
I hope they're seeing an operetta. Go see Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, yeah. Something fun with some mistaken identities in it.
HMS Pinafore.
Some
I
comedy.
need to look up. We have yet to go. There's a troupe here in the Twin Cities that does a Gilbert and Sullivan play every single fall. They just do them in rotation.
Is that the one that does goes to Raspberry Island for their performances, is it?
No, it's like a small company that does it out of some space in Minneapolis.
Oh, I did meet some people at a formerly gay bar who invited me to go to Pirates, and it was pretty fun.
Pirates is a good show. Linda Ronstadt,
Yeah.
shout out.
Yeah, so we just walked across the river
Oh,
and down to Raspberry Island.
nice. We still have to watch the Linda Ronstadt version on DVD.
Oh yeah, you have it
It
now.
has Kevin Kline in it.
We all should also watch A Midsummer Night's Dream because we saw that at the Guthrie and that was really good. And also has Kevin Kline in it.
Yeah. All right. So they are like, who is this person flying in? We're trying to go out to the opera, but shit. Magneto blasts her out of the sky, and Wolverine takes responsibility for her as the remainder of the team goes about their evening. So
He
Magneto's
was.
like, pew, I gotta get to Marriage of Figaro. Shit, our box seats will not wait because we're using Charles's money for this.
And they like just attack without. Oh, there she goes.
We just got a roll flop.
Roll flop confirmed.
Yep.
Oh, and what a big stretch for that leg. That's like totally in the air. So even though Wolverine is like, hey, I recognize that suit, don't fire. Like, the X-Men are just so bad at coordinating themselves and accidentally hitting the
Yeah.
friendly fire.
Nearby, a captain on a Japanese boat says it is near its destination, and someone named Lady Deathstrike seems to anticipate their landing.
Yeah.
Logan drives Heather along on a private road on the grounds of the X Mansion when she comes to. He loaded her in a car and he's like, a drive will do her good.
I mean, I hope the window's open, the
Yeah.
fresh air might help.
And she's like, I'm here to be trained. He says that she's crazy for wanting that, prompting her to run out of the car Logan had pulled over when hearing her request. So
Yeah.
he's like,
You are
you're
nuts.
nuts. And she's like, I'm out of here
I mean,
into
good.
these strange woods.
I mean, good for her for being like,
Does she
if
have a
you're not going to
pet?
help me, I'm out.
Does she have her passport on her?
I don't know that. Are there pockets in that outfit?
Ice would imprison her.
I just would send her to Seacott.
Fucking A. So he chases after her and they reminisce over how they first met after he says he does think she's crazy for wanting training, but his answer isn't necessarily no.
No, we get the full backstory in this issue, right?
Do you need to flip through this?
No, I've got
Okay,
it.
you're in 34.
Because if it's not in 34, it's in 33.
So it's right here
Yeah.
she and Mac tied him down in their marital bed on their honeymoon. And
Yes.
then Mac is like, I'm out of here. I need to go seek some help. And
Yeah.
she's like, I'll watch this muscly, feral man that's tied to the bed.
Yes.
And he has claws. He breaks out. He's like, oh!
And we've seen this origin
We have.
three times now.
Yeah. So,
I might have skipped over some of the dialogue because I'm like, okay, we've seen this. Like, great recap for people who are just jumping in and they're
yes.
like, why does Wolverine, our super popular person, have a connection to this Canadian
Yes.
woman?
And I think this is Matt Logue sort of going back and doing callbacks and being like, here you go again. Like, I'm writing now.
Yeah.
As a reminder, I want to use some of these elements because remember what Matt Logue did was cut up everything and then reassemble it in notebooks.
Right.
So he's able to reference and be like, hey, maybe I want to tug on this Wolverine string a bit. Here's that section. Let me see what I want to highlight as a
Yeah.
writer. Heather and Mac, here, let's go. Heather and Mac were on their honeymoon hunting in snowy woods when a feral Logan launched himself at them. He tackled Mac to the ground, but Heather grabbed the castaway rifle and shot Wolverine. She's like, not my husband, kapow.
I thought it was tranquilizers.
I mean,
It might have
am
been.
I? Yeah, it was definitely a rifle with a tranquilizer dart, though.
Yes.
Mac couldn't come back because there was a blizzard. And then she saw that he's in pain after he rolled out of bed, and they just held each other until he returned in the morning.
Yeah.
So this leads to the present time where Logan reflects there are still big gaps in his personal history and he has many unanswered questions. Additionally, he tells Heather he left Apartment H because he couldn't have Heather.
Ugh.
Mac was his best friend and he didn't want to cause any marital strife or cause the friendship to fail. He gives her a short lecture on the nature of being a hero and how it doesn't hinge on having power, but rather the fortitude to keep fighting for a good cause. He strips off his street clothes, revealing his battle suit underneath, and informs Heather she is going to get some on-the-job training as they are surrounded by men in matching uniforms and led by Lady Deathstrike, who says he stole power and must return it. So,
There's a.
everyone's in love with Heather.
It's
Puck
true.
is in love with Heather.
Wolverine is.
Mac was R.I.P.
There were some really interesting thought bubbles that Heather was having in there about the revelation of. Oh, no, it's in my issue.
It
Never
is.
mind.
We'll get to it.
There's some interesting thought bubbles coming up.
Yeah. So this month's letter page is full of feedback on the creative team change on the book. Some people, such as the one from an anonymous sender, are concerned that no one but John Byrne can write the characters in Alpha Flight correctly. Others have more confidence in Mantlo's storytelling abilities. Editorial does acknowledge the changing pencilers in the past few issues and promises more art stability with the assignment of Dave Ross to the book. Ariel Solovar of Winnipeg wants to know what the plans are for Madison Jeffries and if he is going to suit up and be a full-time member of the team. Editorial says they are open to a costume and fans should submit their design ideas.
Oh.
Anything else for that issue?
No.
This is like the first appearance of Lady Deathstrike.
Is it
It is.
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think. I can get a Google it, but.
Unexpected that she would show up first in a Alpha Flight book, but in my issue, number 34, we do get a lot of that backstory. It's entitled Honor.
It is. I just this is issue 33, first appearance of Lady Deathstrike.
Oh, does that mean that like that one issue is worth the whole collection?
No. I mean, if you if someone actually cares about pricing their Alpha Flight books individually at a comic book store convention, then it'll be a few bucks more.
Oh.
But even like issue 106, which is North Star's coming out, which is probably one of the most famous issues, that number one are the highest price you can get for like 15 bucks.
Oh.
So
So we've got Bill Mantlo as the writer, Sal Buscema as storyteller, Jerry Talawak as finisher, Janice Ching as letterer, Bob Sharon as colorer, and Carl Potts as editor. So Puck is in the last Omni ship. He just took it and ran. And the rest of the team is left on Tamarind Island.
yeah, because he had stormed out
He did.
earlier. He's a grumpy little puck.
But he didn't tell anyone that he was taking their last ship. So we got another sort of dialogue between him and Bucks and how Northstar is just bitchy in the corner, how much he does not appreciate Heather and the leadership role because she got it out of sympathy
Yep.
for her dead husband and contributes nothing to the team. So Aurora like shoots him down for that. I would rather, Northstar, that you learn to live for others instead of, oh, here it is. Because you are my brother and I have made allowances for your callousness, no longer. Your cruelty towards Heather shows me that you are incapable of loving anything but yourself. And he's like, no, I love you. Ugh. And she's like, no, live for others. I don't want your to be the sole object of your affection.
That's fair.
So Puck is going off. He can't handle the thought of him not training Heather and being her going into a more dangerous situation. So Box and Mass and Jeffries all talk things out. Box leaves the robot and goes to the front door to check it out because the doorbell is ringing. And there's, I guess, a whole bunch of security features. Like he doesn't have any qualms about answering the door. And it's Doug Thompson carrying Snowbird, and she's pissed. Doug Thompson's like, she's in pain, I tell you. And she keeps asking for, and then we get like evil looking Snowbird asking for a shaman.
Shaman isn't available right now.
No, he's
The
in.
decision maker of the household is not at home.
Please leave a message. He's talking with the spirit of his grandfather.
He's in the Barren Grounds.
Although the grandfather references it as his son rather than grandson. So great were the gifts of power bestowed upon you, but a man is only as strong as his faith in himself. And Shaman's like, as a doctor, I failed to save the wife of my beloved wife. As a hero, I nearly lost my daughter, Elizabeth. And yet here he is. We're trying to figure out the power.
And because this is the Barren Grounds, he uses the Stone Sentinels there to follow some sort of path towards redemption.
Yeah, like these cairns are leading him on a path of power. And there's a lot of discussion here about like power. It seems like with a capital P. Like Heather is after power. Not necessarily like power to defend herself or power to help her team. It's just power. And same with Shaman here. Like the medicine bag, do I have any power besides what was granted to me via the bag? So then we get back to Lady Deathstrike and her samurai warriors at facing Wolverine. A lot of this discussion is happening in Japanese, so Heather is very clueless as to what's happening. So Lady Deathstrike launches into her exposition.
It's so much exposition.
It is. So she is after Wolverine for his adamantium skeleton. She wants to vivisect him and pop his bones out because her father
Invented the process.
invented the process. Someone stole it from him way back when to use on Wolverine. And he had only recently figured out how to do it again when he fixed the spine of Bullseye. And then after that, the father died mysteriously, and Yuriko hated him for his
Well,
obsession.
yes. So she sees the invention as her birthright, even though she hated her father and actually killed him.
Yeah, and her brother killed himself in like rage or grief or something, which she then also blamed on
Her
her dead
father.
father.
It
So she also had some connection to Clan Yoshida because I think that's how she had originally heard of Wolverine, and that he was betrothed to Lady Mariko of Clan Yoshida. And they're second only in power to myself, or to the Emperor. So, long story short, there's a lot of exposition, a lot of shadowy stuff.
So what? Well, that all goes on.
Heather.
Heather is occupying herself, or she's thinking back to something that happened in the past too.
Yeah, she is thinking back to when she had was Mac's secretary and offered to do some filing for him when he worked for Department H. And I was
So
assigned to
she.
gather Canadians with unique powers. And Mac is like, "Oh, I gotta take care of these files." And she's like, "I'll do it. That's my job." And he's like, "Oh, or nope, I'm gonna do it myself." And now it seems odd how quickly Mac rose to embrace me, as if to keep me from seeing the titles of the reports lying strewn across his desk. And one of them is a report on the process of bonding adamantium to the human skeletal structure, a translation from the Japanese. So then she starts thinking and going back again to that origin story of the cabin in the woods shooting Wolverine. And was it all just a setup so that Mac could recruit him?
Yes, so there is a seed of doubt that's planted in her mind. And
Like, who is my husband?
was the honeymoon really just a setup to leave a feral man alone with Heather as some sort of further experiment to see how Wolverine would react?
Yeah. So she's having this moment of like, oh no, maybe Mac is not the man I thought he was. Which I like this train of thought for her. Like, good for you for examining your past relationships. Battle, battle,
There, Lady
snick,
Deathstrike,
flash.
after all the exposition, now we're in a battle.
Yes. And Heather's power suit protects her from some of these older style weapons, like the ninja stars, or I guess they're samurai stars. And they run off into the woods, start taking out a few more warriors one by one. They are tracking Wolverine, but he just jumps down from a tree and lands on one of their heads. And yeah, Heather's kicking ass. Like, the force fields that she's blasting out are laying waste to some of these warriors. And a lot of snicked, a lot of slangs. She's like, I don't let. Or Wolverine is getting pissed and more blood ragey. So off he goes. It's just him and Lady Deathstrike. Her sword is reinforced. It was made by her father.
It's an electromagnetic sword.
Yeah.
Is it sort of like a lightsaber?
No, it doesn't really glow,
No.
but it's strong enough to face the adamantium claws of Wolverine.
And it gives something to Puck z to zero in on. So Puck is flying in the
Yes.
Omnijet.
He finally gets there.
Yes. And there is a little blip, and he's like, "Oh, electromagnetic, that's Heather."
Yeah, but is it really?
So he's zooming in low, and he hits Logan with the ship.
It does.
He just plows right into Wolverine.
Just bonks him on the head. Puck, zeroing in on the sword's electromagnetic impulses, recognizes the former elephant too late, and it's a frack.
So then Lady Deathstrike, as the ship is zooming overhead, slices it with her sword.
Puck ejects
Yep.
as the Omni ship crashes with an exclamation point, or there would be the bottom half of the exclamation point, but Heather's hand is there. So she goes, she bonks Lady Deathstrike into a tree, and her electromagnetic fields are more powerful than Lady Deathstrike's electromagnetic fields. And the sword shatters against her power suit, and she has taken the new name Vindicator.
To vindicate the murky past Mac may have been involved with.
Yes.
It's so dramatic. Like, I'm going to use this old code name, but for a different reason.
That Mac had for like 2 days before he took on Guardian.
Yes.
We got a little last flashback to Myrna, who has been captured by Atuma, Warlord of Atlantis.
Marina. It's Marina.
I know.
So she's getting more pangs of a abdominal pain,
Yeah.
and that's what causes her to be captured.
Yeah, otherwise she's way too fast for the Atlantean.
Yeah.
So yeah.
In the letters page, there are two letters in direct opposition from one another, with Jason Potter of Valley Stream, New York, thinking there are too many members on the team, and Matt Spatola of Mountjoy, Pennsylvania, writing that there should be more members, specifically asking for Madison to be made an official member of the team.
Oh.
Two additional letters in the column express enthusiasm for Puck, who's certainly emerging as a fan favorite, bridging the gap between the Byrne and Mantlo eras.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Are you ready for Marvel Fanfare?
Marvel Fanfare issue 28, Murder by Numbers 1, 2, 3, from September 1986. The writer is Bill Mantlo. Everything else is Ken Stacy.
Oh.
Pencils, inks, colors, letters.
The art is definitely very different from others.
Yes.
And that's actually only half of the title. The other half is as easy as learning your ABCs. It was weird. Like, I
Yeah.
couldn't figure out why is this extra lettering on this whole other page separated from the first part of the title. Apparently, that's just how they rolled.
All right. So North Star races from Tamarin Island to Toronto, making it in half an hour to find that he's too late to save someone from a burning building. He was called there by the person, he Jacques, and swears
Jacques.
he
Jacques.
Jacques and swears he will avenge his murdered friend.
He looked under the, well, he had to flash his Alpha Flight card
Yes.
and peeked under the sheet of to see the body on the
And
gurney.
he's like, "Oh, Jacques is crispy."
And he was very tearful, and I thought this was like potentially a past lover of his.
Oh. The next day, the entire team consisting of Heather, Aurora, Puck, Box, Snowbird, and Northstar meet a private contractor in his office in Ottawa. Retired RCMP commander Giles McKeith runs an anti-terrorist organization and was contracted by the RCMP to investigate past members of the FLQ, and one of them happens to be on Alpha Flight. Northstar explains he has disavowed using violence to oppose the government, as have his past associates. McKeith was called in to investigate what was going on due to Northstar's appearance at the scene of the murder the previous evening. Northstar is lectured on how he should have contacted the RCMP if he had concerns about Jacques' safety rather than racing off to the scene himself. All right, so then we get some background about Northstar's cell of the FLQ, which is described as one of the most violent to have participated in the event leading up to the October Crisis in 1971. Northstar functioned as their super-fast courier until he found out about their violent tendencies and distanced himself from the group. McKeith explains his former compatriots are being targeted, and Northstar should do what he can to contact them and urge them to surrender so they can save themselves from whoever is trying to murder them.
Yeah, they murdered everyone in a police station back in the day.
Yes.
So that's why that was the sort of event that got Northstar out of the group. He's like, this is too much for me.
Yes.
So Jacques was numéro un?
They all have French numbers.
Yes. UN, all.
As the team leaves, they ask Northstar what he's going to do. He's suspicious that McKeith will just use this as an excuse to track down and charge his former friends. Heather tries to interject in the conversation, and Northstar rounds on her, saying the responsibility to do anything is his, not Alpha Flight's. He flies off faster than any of the other members can match. Within his office, McKeith turns on a tracker, as he coated the team in fine electromagnetic particles so he can track them. Northstar's speed has already sloughed them off, but the rest of the team still has them on their outfits.
Yeah, so he and Puck, I think, and Snowbird still have, not Snowbird, had these subcutaneous trackers implanted in them.
Yes.
Snowbird cannot be made to bleed as a child of the gods. But I imagine Shaman must have had one. Maybe Marina, Marina.
No, she had the necklace, the
Oh,
pendant.
that's right, the pendant.
Yep.
So that's how they were going after. That's how McKeith is tracking the rest of the team from these old styled things that not everyone has because Box is new.
Yes, so it's these little particles, like he crop dusted them.
Yes, to find the frequencies of those subcutaneous trackers.
Is it the frequencies? I thought he was just straight up using the particles that coded them so he could then track them.
No, that's what he was using to determine what the codes were.
Oh. Same principle. He's
Science.
using dust to track them.
Yes.
In Toronto, the rest of the team regroups, and Heather says they can use Northstar's implant put into the original members of the team to connect them to AlphaNex to track his whereabouts.
Yeah.
Puck echoes Northstar's concerns that this is a setup, and Heather says if so, McKeith made the wrong call bringing the team into the situation. An armored person calling itself Scourge, not Scourge from Captain America, this is a Canadian Scourge, is tracking the unknowing Alpha Flight as they in turn track Northstar to the theater district. Very gay.
What? North
He
Star at the theater district?
is in the city. He needs to see a show. Snowbird uses her post-cognitive abilities to see that he entered through the stage door. They go through and Northstar confronts them on the stage for interfering as the backstage area explodes. Northstar rushes back and finds that another member of his former FLQ cell, Clementine, last seen during the Pink Pearl confrontation.
Except in the book, it's called The Pretty Pearl.
Yeah, I man, we got it wrong. Lies dead. R.I.P.
I liked
Clementine. I
her.
did too. As he flies off, Northstar beseeches the team to leave him alone.
Because this is numero deux.
After Alpha leaves the theater, Scourge makes sure Clementine is dead and confirms he is following in their wake to find all the hidden members of the cell to eliminate them.
So he really is taking advantage of what the team is thinking, like, oh, we'll find them and protect them, except he's actually doing his job better and finding them and killing them.
Yes. And you did say when you picked this up, this is a thick book. I wanted to mention that Marvel Fanfare is like a premium selection for Marvel.
Oh, that's why all the pages themselves are thicker.
They're glossy.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know if you picked up, there are no ads.
Oh, I did not pick up on that.
Yep. So you pay more for better quality in terms of paper and printing, and also for no ads.
Oh, like
So,
a streaming service.
yeah. Northstar finds the next two members who are in an abandoned bus as they are arming themselves. So they're catching on that they're being picked off.
Yeah.
Box interrupts their conversation by tearing the bus apart, and Heather uses her electromagnetic blast to destroy the firearms. As
They're like, why did you have these guns if you're so innocent? And they're like, you just tore a bus apart.
Northstar battles his own team, the two former terrorists make a break for it and are killed.
It's true.
Heather and Northstar finally get on the same page and agree that they will work together to find the last two members of the cell and use their presence as a ruse to draw out the killer they think McKeith set on their trail.
And like Northstar is slower than what he should be. So it's he evades them for the most part, and like he runs so fast around Snowbird that her cloak gets all tangled up around her, and that's how he distracts her, but Box catches his ankle and like full on slams him into the ground.
Scourge closes in on one of the two remaining former terrorists, and Box jumps him, knocking him to the ground so the rest of the team can combine forces and taking him down. Aurora burns out Scourge's visual abilities because she can be very bright,
Yes.
and he is forced to remove his helmet, revealing McKeith himself in the armor. Who would have known?
It's the what they were afraid of, that they would lead the officials to all these people and they would die.
It's Scooby-Doo, except with death.
Yes.
Northstar punches him several dozen times before the team convinces him to let justice take care of McKeith.
There's like blood from his knuckles.
Yeah. Who had been trying to hunt down the cell for years. Like this dude harbored a grudge.
Yeah.
Heather explains the situation to the responding police as Puck and Box take care of crowd control. We fast forward to a few days later. The team is visiting Northstar in the hospital where he's recovering from injuries received in the course of the mission. The Prime Minister has pardoned him for his involvement in the FLQ, but his two surviving former cellmates will need to serve time for their terrorist past. While he was in the hospital, he also had a surgical team remove his Alpha Flight implant so he and the team can grow to trust one another more and not rely on technology to bridge the gap between.
Yeah, that was sort of a nice, like, you say that this is a family, you say that this is built on trust, but you don't actually trust me.
Yeah.
And then they have a nice coming together.
Yeah. So this sort of, there's one more story a lot later on dealing with the FLQ stuff.
Okay.
But this is basically the last reference we have aside from that, and that was in the Marvel Comics Presents.
I mean, and this sort of wraps it up. Like, he got
Yes.
pardoned. Like, this shouldn't be.
So then this way Mantlo is able to get the whole weirdness where Aurora's like, I can't believe you did that sort of thing. Like, it's
Oh,
done.
fixes
Like,
that relationship.
yeah.
I gotcha.
Which I really didn't like ever.
The
It
fact that she was like.
I can't believe this brother. Brozare.
He's not a bra, brassiere.
I'm saying it how they write it when she's speaking in the French.
She
Brozare.
says frère.
No, Brozare. Brozair is how they anglicize
Oh no.
it. Yes.
That's a choice.
Brozare. It's not a brazier like a Dairy Queen Grill and Chill.
No.
But it does sort of address that big plot point and, like you said, puts it to bed where
Yeah.
it doesn't have to be addressed anymore. It's a part of his past. I'm sad that Clementine is gone because I feel Clementine had more potential
Yeah.
as a fun character to bring in as part of his past
Or
and
even
his
just
cast of
like,
characters.
hey, there's this plot going on. Here's what I'm hearing from my former contacts in the underworld. Like something like that
Yeah.
would have been fun.
Yes.
So
But
yeah.
she's dead dead.
Not dead is the fact that that's a wraparound
It's
cover.
a and this issue I originally found when we were in Detroit like a year and a half ago
Oh.
at the comic store for like $3, and I was just flipping through and I was like, oh, Alpha Flight's on this cover, I'm getting it. And I read it in the hotel room.
Oh.
And yeah, it's a beautiful wraparound cover. Like, this as a poster would look really cool.
It's true. Isn't that when you got the first appearance of Wood God too?
Yes. What God. What a
Shout
mess.
out to Chad and Gray Malkin Lee.
Yeah. I think it's a fun little issue and it's worth seeking out. I know it's not in main Alpha Flight, but logically it fits in here in the run of things.
Although Snowbird is seemingly healthy here.
Yes. It
So,
there's a Sometimes with these, you have to fit it in the most logical place. Wait until I tell you about where Annual One fits in. We'll get to it in a few episodes, but like, it's a wonky place.
oh, good.
Like, it's. Yeah. So you fit these in where it seemingly makes sense, and like, there's no clean way. Like, it doesn't necessarily fit in before 33 because Heather's not really in the field,
Oh, yeah.
but she's in the field. But Snowbird's here. Like, this is about the only place it fits is somewhere.
Fits with air quotes.
Yes. And I tried to get information. I actually asked about the issue that's coming up in our future to Carl Potts, and basically it was up to Bill Mantlo. Like, he's like, nope, this makes sense for me as a writer. Why
Oh.
this is why this and like Annual One are where they are, it's because he made it that way.
Okay.
So he's the writer of everything. So it made sense to him somehow. So what's left for us is just to read it and enjoy it sometimes
Yeah.
and not overanalyze because sure, Snowbird's here. Take a drink like I am.
And did you enjoy it?
I did. I mean, North Star on this cover is hunky.
Yeah, his hair sort of changes a little bit.
It's longer in the issue.
Yeah, I like his more 70s coif, where it's a little bit on the shorter side.
But I think that Ken Stacy did a great job with, I mean, how long did it take him?
To do everything in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. A long
I
time.
should reach out to Ken Stacy and be like, you did a good job.
Oh, yeah. I'm writing a book. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah. Tell me about this one issue that you did in 1986, please.
It's okay. It's almost 40 years ago.
Yeah, you remember, right? So, what did you think of Alpha Flight? What do you think about where we're going here?
I like it. There's enough, like, I don't know, team formation things happening that I can appreciate. I thought the Heather stuff was a little bit slower. Like, I didn't quite feel like it was 100% of a payoff or like, I know what I'm doing now. I'm not going to ask these guys anymore what to do. So, yeah. Outside of that, it was good. We had to have a talk about like what actually is this timeline with the dad. Because I'm like, Daredevil, how is he involved? And then you go back and you're like, oh, he rediscovered what he had invented, used it on Bullseye. That's when Daredevil got to him. So otherwise, I'm like, Daredevil can't be that old to predate Wolverine, but maybe.
I'm looking at our upcoming things. I think we're going to do 3 issues again for next Alpha Flight episode, plus a Marvel Comics Presents story, which is 8 pages.
Because I put multiple stories in one issue.
Yep. And this is a, so we are going to continue the march towards the Atlantis stuff. The Atlantis stuff is going to start heating up. And the Marvel Comics Presents story is all about Puck,
Oh, good.
and Arcade. You didn't think you'd be seeing Arcade. So n next episode we get some Atlantis, some Arcade, and Pestilence.
Oh, I can meet the pestilence.
Yes, Pestilence is gonna come around. He's real gross.
No. After that magnificent roll flop, Asta's back up and grooming.
Yes, she is.
He's very fastidious.
All right, anything else?
I don't think so. We're gonna put a greenhouse together in a bit.
Yeah, that'll be nice before like a midday big supper,
Yes.
since there's a roast in the oven. So,
Dinner because it's more lunchtime, but it's more than just a sandwich.
yes. Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Again, if you want details on my book, join the newsletter, alphaflightbook.beehiv.com, and sign up. It's free.
Or just stay tuned for more Bun Bun updates and garden updates.
Yes. And we will catch you next time with the last Starfleet Academy issues.
Until telepathy more.
Until Telepathy War. Then we get one more.
Yeah.
Talk to you later, everyone.
Be well.
Bye.